There was no real way for Time to know how long she was out, what had been done to her, or where she was. But as she came to in the tiny, windowless room with the bunk, the commode and the little sink, she realised those questions might not get answered for a while, if indeed, ever. She was still wearing her clothes, at least. Other than whatever had knocked her out, which had left her stiff and sore all over, she seemed to be intact, and even had her wallet in her back pocket. The gadgets, unfortunately, were gone. And where was Dredge? She could only assume and hope he was in a little cell-like room of his own not that far away. Odd move, government goons, she was thinking. They hadn't seen a single no trespassing sign, much less a trace of some presumably huge installation. Yet here they were. No sooner had she gotten her bearings, sat up and subsequently risen from the cot, then the single metallic-looking door off to her right slid open and a trio of soldier-like people in unmarked and identical dark uniforms marched into the room. At least the one in the front wasn't frowning like the other two.
"Are you able to walk?" he said.
I think so, where..."
"Please come with us."
There wasn't much more to it than that. Nervously biting her lip as she was escorted down the long, featureless grey corridor by the slightly less grim lead... officer, was it? With the others at her back, Time tried a couple of little quips like, "Is my lawyer already here?" and "Wow, do your maintenance people ever keep this place spotless?" but got no response. When the long walk finally reached its end, she found herself breathing a sigh of relief. Surely there had to be someone to have an actual conversation with in the middle of this huge place. Left at a pair of sliding doors, she heard them click and roll and turned to see yet another sombre visage scrutinising her. Gathering she was supposed to go in, despite the wordless, glare-adjacent look she was getting, she did so. "Sit down," the woman said. At least her escort had said please. There was only one chair positioned in front of the obviously high-ranking woman's broad desk, and there wasn't a heck of a lot else in the place in terms of furniture. Even the walls were sparsely adorned, with just a few pictures of various jet aircraft dotting them. Time didn't hear the door close behind her, but it had by the time she glanced around at it before taking a seat. Seconds ticked by slowly as the two stared at each other, with Time unsure what to say, and her host apparently in no hurry to say anything. Time cracked first. "I'm not a terrorist or a zealot or anything," she said. "I don't want anything to do with any of this. But then my car breaks down, and I'm walking by this old phone that shouldn't be working, but is. And I stupidly pick it up and say hi. And the voice on the other end of that long dead phone line says, 'Hi, I'm Albert Einstein, and tag, you're it. Go save the world from blowing up or whatever.' And he says morning glory or whatever. Is that where we are?" Silence. The woman looked quite inscrutable as she sat and listened. "Fine. You want to know why we ended up in the middle of what I guess was your territory, and that's it, believe it or not. You can torture us or whatever, but it won't change what happened." Still no response. "Did you want to ask me anything else? Because that's pretty much the gist of it."
"What led you here?"
"Huh?" A response from her presumed interrogator had seemed so long in coming that Time wasn't sure at first how to reply. "Oh," she said after a few seconds. "We just put together clues and ended up with that spot out there. I couldn't believe it worked out so well, or so fast either. But Dredge and I figured it out and, well, here we are, trying to save the world for Albert Edison."
"That's Einstein," her host said tiredly. "Hopefully you do know the difference."
"Yeah, Einstein," Time said. "Sorry, I just woke up. Albert just accidentally helped build the bomb. Edison was a real dick." That actually seemed to soften the woman's expression and tone, if only faintly. There was nothing resembling a smile going on with those motionless lips, but her shoulders settled just a touch, and her whole demeanour seemed a little less antagonistic as the interview went on.